It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
And welcome in to the Halloween edition. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser are here with you. Hope everybody's Thursday morning is off to a fabulous start. Joe Rex Road, happy Halloween. What's going on? How are we?
Doing pretty well. Happy to see that the Yankees completely melted down and that the ball wrestler couldn't even go see it. So that makes for a pretty good night.
It was a very
good job, Yankees.
Night. Yeah. 5-0 lead that just went by the wayside for those Yankees last night. Nick Keyser, how are we doing?
Good morning. Doing well. Can't complain. Glad to be here, fellas.
The Dodgers win the World Series last night. So that's now two World Series victories for friend of our station and Nashville native Mookie Betts with L.A., and another one with Boston. So three World Series titles for Mookie Betts. Dodgers get it done last night. Shohei Ohtani gets his World Series. How about those Dodgers? 5-0 lead for the Yankees, and then all of a sudden that lead evaporated pretty quickly in the fifth inning, and the Dodgers end up getting it done at the end of the night, and they win the series 4-1, win the game last night 7-6. Just the Yankees, Joe, got their one shining moment last or the night before, and then a total collapse in the fifth inning last night.
Yeah, we should have. T-ball level defense. You hate to see it, don't you?
Well, it's not very good.
We should have Jimmy Wyatt on soon. Although when he comes on, I destroy chairs. But what a fall for him! You know, he's in the Tennessee Sports Writers Hall of Fame. His Dodgers just won it all. His Commodores are having their best season in a long time. Congrats, Jimmy Wyatt.
Yeah, I mean, this really is a very nice fall for Jimmy Wyatt. I mean, other than, you know, the football team that he covers and works for and all that stuff not going very well.
But other than that,
other than that, the fall is going very nicely for Jimmy Wyatt at this point. So congratulations to Jimmy Wyatt, his L.A. Dodgers visor, and the L.A. Dodgers as a whole. I don't know, like, obviously, like, if you're a general baseball fan, you're excited that the Yankees lost. Although I'm starting to view the Dodgers and the Yankees kind of the same way, to be quite frank with you.
Yeah, I get that. That's one of those things that, yes, I mean, in terms of, you know, first of all, obviously they're also a historical franchise, Brooklyn Dodgers. They're a big market franchise. They always have all the money. They always take all the free agents, all that stuff. But, man, the hateability to me, and this is just, you know, this is just me growing up. I didn't care about the Dodgers. I hated in the AL East. I hated the Yankees, you know. So, I can't get to there, but I understand how some people could.
Freddie Freeman, World Series MVP. Nice job by him throughout this postseason. Did not get beaned last night. And Kuharski, his hatred for Freddie Freeman, not enough as he wins the World Series MVP and they get it done. So, congratulations to the L.A. Dodgers for winning another World Series last night. Joe, the Predators taking on the Edmonton Oilers tonight. Connor McDavid out 2 to 3 weeks with an ankle injury. So we figured when he flew back from Columbus to Edmonton that the Predators would not be seeing him tonight, and he'll be out 2 to 3 weeks. So an opportunity tonight for the Preds without the best player in the world to have to go up against to take on Edmonton. Now, they do still have Leon Draisaitl and Zach Hyman and Matthias Ekholm and all these other players that are very, very good. But obviously, Joe, a big break for the Predators tonight not having to take on Connor McDavid.
Yeah. Now, yeah, I would argue Leon Draisaitl actually in recent years has become the best player in the world whenever he sees the Preds.
He loves Bridgestone Arena.
But he also has had McDavid with him, right? I mean, on the team, you know, as a part of the game. So, you know, and obviously that ridiculous power play. So, yeah, the Preds, it's a little bit of a break for the Preds. Isn't 2 to 3 weeks a little bit of a weird diagnosis for an ankle?
Yeah, like there's some speculation that it's a high ankle sprain.
And then it might be longer.
It might be, yeah, I don't know. Like, it's, you know, it's hockey, so it's different. Like, it's not like you're, you know, you're on skates, you're on a blade. It's not like you're pushing off, like, running and doing something. But still, like, I don't know. I had the same thought. I was like, ankle in 2 to 3 weeks. Interesting. And then I wondered, like, you know, the Predators play them again here in a couple weeks in Edmonton. Is he going to be back by then? Like, are you going to dodge the Connor McDavid bullet in 2 out of 3 matchups if you're the Predators? Because that would be very fortunate if you did that.
Yeah, and if you could win those, then that could matter at some point.
Yep, and they're off to Edmonton's 4-5-1. You're 3-5-1. So either way, both teams kind of need this game tonight. We'll see how it goes for the Preds. But looks like going to be same lineup for the Preds heading. Mark Delgado's back, so he looks like he may come in for somebody tonight. But Edmonton kind of messing around. Leon Draisaitl, Victor Arvidsson on the top line, baby. Top line forward, yeah. Victor Arvidsson with Leon Draisaitl tonight. So we'll see how that goes. We'll have you updated on the Predators. By the way, Derek McKenzie, Preds assistant coach, will be with us at 7:30, and we'll have Preds pick to click coming up today at 8:45 on the program. Joe, did you see Shane Steichen, head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, address the media yesterday?
Yeah.
It was quite something. Brian Callahan had some comments on the quarterback stuff that we're going to get to here in just a few minutes, but the way that Steichen talked yesterday did not make it seem like, to me anyway, that there's a plan right now for Anthony Richardson to be the starting quarterback again. He said basically Flacco's the quarterback going forward, and when asked about Richardson being a starter again at some point, he's like, well, yeah, that would, I guess that'd be cool at some point. So what did you make of Steichen and the way that he handled that press conference and the way that the Colts seemingly are just turning to Joe Flacco for the foreseeable future moving forward?
I don't understand these people at all. Like, I just, and there's a lot. So along with that, first of all, a bunch of Colts Twitter, you know, that brought up, like, especially the night they drafted Richardson, the presser with Steichen and Ballard, Chris Ballard, the GM, and the stuff they said that night, which was, you know, it's not going to be good early. That's why you have to play through it. You have to play a lot of games, you know, and people have to understand that, blah, 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 blah. You know, that was Ballard talking. And then, of course, you have the Colts players in the locker room. And I saw some of those interviews, and seriously, they looked like they all had puppies killed.
Yeah.
Yesterday. And then he's there like, well, yeah, well, you know, I mean, it reads like they're done with them. They can't be done with them. I was trying to think in my head. It's like, is Steichen just trying to, like, you know, for his team, just sort of be like, we can't worry about this now. Like, we're trying to win. Look, Steichen, he has job security. That's where it always gets complicated with these things, right? When you have coaches and GMs who have job security, but especially like the coach, it's about winning. Now, to me, the GM job security for Chris Ballard should be gone. If they're even considering moving on from Anthony Richardson, he blew it. He's gone, right? That should be over. Steichen, I guess, Steichen just is like trying to send a message to the locker room, like, let's not be distracted by the quarterback situation. This is the quarterback. Let's win. I don't know. But to me, that's still sacrificing. I mean, I would argue they've already done much to mess up Anthony Richardson's confidence, and that, to me, is another way to do it.
I will say the Michael Pittman press conference was pretty funny yesterday. Hey, Michael, when did you find out that they were making the switch to Joe Flacco? Well, I looked on Twitter and saw it. It's all you guys. And then I called somebody to ask if it was real. Turns out it was. That's what Michael Pittman basically said yesterday.
Did you see the Zaire Franklin podcast?
I did not.
Thing? Yeah, he's like, he's talking about Richardson. He's like, you know, then he gets up there. He's like, I'm not going to lie. Lie. Just like we said.
Please do.
Yeah. Just don't say it. I mean, Yeah. Again, it's hard for me to buy that that's not part of this. You know, and I get, who knows? I mean, maybe in the locker, even though it seems like everybody's not thrilled with this, maybe there was a lot more in the locker room of like, are you kidding me? Than we know, you know,
maybe so
with the tap out. But they have absolutely goat bleeped this whole thing. I mean, my goodness.
It's quite something. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Speaking of quarterbacks and patience and a lot of things we've been talking about this week, Brian Callahan had some interesting comments to that regard yesterday. We'll get into those coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Anthony Richardson to the bench in Indianapolis. Titans sorting through their own quarterback issues and trying to determine whether or not Will Levis is worthy of keeping around and maintaining as a starting quarterback as the season goes on, certainly as you look ahead the next year. And Brian Callahan was asked about quarterbacks, patience, all those things in the NFL that we've spent a lot of time talking about this week here on the program. Had a very thoughtful and interesting answer. Here's what Titans head coach Brian Callahan had to say yesterday at his press conference.
Brian, when it comes to the young quarterbacks in this league, we just saw a situation in Indy with Anthony Richardson being benched. Mm-hmm. You've been around the game for a while in quarterbacks. Do you feel like there is less patience, or does that kind of vary from organization to organization in terms of how they are setting up a quarterback for success?
How long do you guys want to sit here?
I was thinking probably have a great answer on that.
Oh, I think there's a lot of things that go into that. There is, and I think before I speak on any of it, I think every situation is a little bit different, and every player and organization has different ways they go about it. So I'm not speaking for anybody, but I just think there's a couple of factors at play for some of the things that happen in the league. I think one, the quarterback position is the toughest position to play in sports. It's really difficult to play quarterback, and then it's even more difficult to play at a level that everybody wants their quarterback to play at. The top four or five guys in the league, everybody's searching for that. It's really hard to do, and there's some of the factors I think are, there's the economic factor of having a young quarterback on a rookie deal that allows for financial flexibility, so you can build a better roster and not pay the quarterback what they're getting paid now, $60 million plus now, as a part of the whole picture of building a team. I think college football and NFL football are so dramatically different right now. There's very few like pro style offenses in college. There's a lot of things about what those guys do in college that works really well in college, and then there's a whole different level when you get here. The biggest thing for me, like the protections, understanding protections, how to protect yourself, how to set protections, the pressures you see in the high leverage spots in games. So those are just some minor things, but there's also then now the patience part, which, as we all know, as I said the other day, there's not a lot of patience in pro sports in general. And sometimes it does take a little bit of time to learn all of those things. And then, there's your balancing winning with developing, and that's a very, very hard thing to do in pro football, probably in every professional sport, because fans want success and ownerships want success, and all of those things are all normal. They're part of it, but I think sometimes those things conflict and they run into each other, where you're trying to win because people's jobs are on the line, and then you're trying to develop because guys need development. So it's a really tricky thing, but I think it also stems mostly from the fact that it's just such a difficult position to play, and there's so much demand on that position that you have to play a good amount of football to learn all of those lessons, I think. So I could talk about this for a really long time. I won't bore everybody, but there's a lot of things that I think go into it.
Brian Callahan, very excited to talk about the quarterback position yesterday. Joe, what did you make of that answer from Brian Callahan?
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, I basically agree with most of it, and it's really interesting because I mean, I can't argue with him, like how different pro and college football are. Yet it's we've talked about this. I mean, pro football has borrowed from college football, and it really, again, it goes back to, in particular, it really goes back to the legend Mike Leach. And I know he didn't invent the air raid, but he's the most famous sort of, runner of the air raid, you know, and obviously Oklahoma, and then he takes it on his own head coaching career. And, you know, the Patriots famously, and that great team that would have gone undefeated, except Brady can't beat Eli Manning in a Super Bowl. Those teams took a lot of those concepts, you know, and a lot of the concepts from college have gone to the NFL. But at the same time, he's right. I mean, it's so few. There's still way more under center in the NFL. There's way more, you know, 12 personnel, you know, with two tight ends and things like that in the NFL. That's still part of it. And you don't see a ton of that. You can't find a ton of that in college football, but it's interesting. You know, people don't think about protections as much. You know, they can think about reading the field, reading defenses, you know, get on the same page with your receivers. But I mean, look at the other night, you know, the Giants, Daniel Jones just blows it and doesn't call his tight end over at the line for protection, which is what he was supposed to do, because of course you have to do that against TJ Watt. And so TJ Watt is stripping the ball from him in 0.3 of a second, right? You know? But that's one of the things people don't think about much, but it's so huge, is like understanding what you need to do with your protection and getting it done before the snap. So like, even with the Titans, I think the bigger, like with Levis, okay, I think we would all agree that like the offensive line has been bad, but how many times is bad protection maybe because he didn't see something pre-snap? I mean, right. I think you have to take that into account.
No, I think that's a great point. You bring up Daniel Jones, and I meant to bring this up yesterday. A lot of people have talked about this, using kind of him as the example. You know, Anthony Richardson is going to the bench 10 starts into his career, right? Daniel Jones, yep, has started 67 games for the New right. York Giants. Like, think about it. And there's, you know, obviously he got a second contract out of it as well. So he's gotten paid a pretty good amount of money to be basically, for like one half of one year, a halfway decent quarterback. And other than that, it's been pretty bad from Daniel Jones. But he's got 67 starts with the Giants. Anthony Richardson to the bench after 10.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's crazy. Now, again, that 1 year, which was Daboll's first year, 2 years ago, right? He was good. I mean, it was definitely where he was in his career. It was like, okay, now you're seeing it. Now you kind of expect, okay, so then there's going to be an ascent from there. And that's the thing. You don't know. Also, even when someone shows something, everybody, like, it's, you know, stops somewhere. It's not like every ball clears the yards. You know, sometimes it dies, you know, at the wall.
Yep.
But the idea was, yeah, he's going to keep getting better. And so, he won a playoff game. They won at Minnesota in a playoff game. He played well in that game. I mean, if you play well as a quarterback in a playoff win, that means a lot. It didn't mean a lot for Mariota. Mm-hmm. But you know, I mean, that is significant. And so, I mean, that it's worth keeping that in mind. It's not like he's been all bad the whole time, but it is still crazy to think of that number. Just, comparison or not, Anthony Richardson, 10 starts, and there's actually the possibility that, like, they're done with him. Yeah. It blows my mind that why would you ever take him if this is how you were going to handle it?
So in Callahan's long kind of answer there, he talked about a lot of things. He talked about how difficult the position is to play, some of the details that go into making you successful at quarterback, the patience level that sometimes you have to have, but you don't have in pro sports. Did any of what he said kind of give you a clue about Will Levis, and in a perfect world, how you'd like to view him? Because I did see some yesterday of, wow, he's talking about patience with quarterback. Maybe they're not giving up on Will Levis after this year. I didn't take anything he said in that answer yesterday really one way or the other in terms of, you know, a declaration on Will Levis moving forward. But what about you? What did you make of what Callahan had to say and how it relates to Will Levis?
Well, I wouldn't take it that far, but I do think it backs up what some people have doubted even this year, which is that they're going back to him and that they're going to give him a real opportunity. Yep. I mean, they're going to, and they should. They are not a dumb poverty franchise, at least in this way, like the Colts are. So, I mean, but I wouldn't take it to next year because I think that Levis and they're, I'm just speculating, obviously, but I think in their minds, I'm sure they have to see a lot more from Levis and a big step, and then a big step that is consistently maintained, you know, to some level, for him to have a chance to be the guy next year, you know, but he absolutely should get the rest of this year. And I mean, as down as people may be on him, and I get it, cause it's been bad again, like it's a small number here. It's a small number, and it does happen sometimes that guys figure it out, or again, that guys get the time and then you don't really know what it would have been early because teams were smart enough to not put them on the field. I mean, that's the biggest issue, I think. Like the Colts, I agree totally with what Stilley said yesterday on another crushing loss to me and Jared versus Joe. Like the Colts, when they drafted him, should have come right out and said, guys, just so you know, he is not starting next year. He is not playing next year.
Right.
That's how it is. And that should have been the plan. But instead, they actually start him right from the start. Like they are so dumb. I mean, every time this conversation keeps getting back to the Colts, and I'm just blown away. I need Ben and Indy. Ben and Indy apparently has just gone dark on everybody, man. But I really need his thoughts because, like, you cannot put lipstick on this pig.
615-737-1025. By the way, Will Levis, a limited participant yesterday with the shoulder. And we kind of knew that would be the case heading into Wednesday. And Callahan talked yesterday. It'll probably be more, you know, determining his status for Sunday will be, all right, after you practice Wednesday, how does the shoulder feel Thursday? How does the shoulder feel Friday after you put it through some work? So we'll keep an eye on Will Levis and what his status looks like for Sunday's game against the Patriots. Some interesting comments yesterday from a Titan that it's going to be really important to figure out a solution to keep him going as they move forward here. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
He said that he did some things differently throughout the week, and then even watching pregame, like with the tennis mm-hmm. balls, the over-the-shoulder stuff. Is that something that he came to you and said he was going to do, or like how did that?
Yeah, he actually last week had, you know, as you go, players go through, just like all of us, you know, you go through a slump or a struggle, and you know, you look at yourself and you figure out what can I do differently? You know, how can I get myself through this? We just got a new tennis ball machine that came in last week on top of it. So, you know, he's out there in a walkthrough catching tennis balls. He's at before practice, after practice. The thing that was the most impressive, and I actually showed it to our team, just as a guy trying to, you know, doing what he can do to make himself better and help our team. And, you know, I think Tuesday morning, all of a sudden it's about 7 o'clock and I hear the jugs machine running outside my office, and I look out, and Calvin's out there with his helmet on and one of the equipment guys, and they're firing jugs, and he went and caught probably 200-some balls, I would imagine. But just, you know, not playing the way he wanted to, and decided to do something that would either change that or help that, and I commend him for, you know, for trying to find a way to get better, and that was really good to see. But he's done a lot of things to refocus himself and get back to it, and I thought it paid off on Sunday.
That was Brian Callahan on Calvin Ridley coming off his best game as a Titan on Sunday with the Detroit Lions. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Row, 102.5, 106.3, the game. So Ridley with a big game on Sunday against the Lions. They finally got him going in this offense. 10 catches, 143 yards for Ridley. So obviously, that's a pretty good day for Calvin Ridley. We'll see what that looks like when Will Levis gets back in there, whether that's this Sunday or not. But, you know, Callahan talked there about Ridley on Tuesday walking in the building and catching the jugs machine at 7 a.m. And Ridley was asked about it yesterday as well, just the work that he put in, and basically said that Callahan got on him and it was time to get going, that he wasn't playing up to his standards. So I guess the real question, Joe, is, has something been unlocked here with Calvin Ridley? Is Sunday's game, even if the stat line's not always the same, like he's not going to catch 10 passes for 143 yards every game, but can you be an effective player game in, game out? I mean, the stats for Ridley before Sunday in the last four games look like this. 1 catch for 9 yards against Green Bay, One catch for 5 yards against Miami. 0 catches, 0 yards on 8 targets against Indy. And 3 catches for 42 yards against Buffalo. So Sunday, a significant step in the right direction. Do we believe that the Titans may have now unlocked something with Calvin Ridley?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously they hope so. And that's one of those things. It was individually a pretty significant moment and positive that was hard to, in the moment, really, you know, care too much about given the overall result, but it was significant. You know, Callahan also asked, like, if Hopkins' departure contributed, which is fair to, you know, it's a fair thought. He, not surprisingly, you know, basically dismissed that idea, but did talk about, you know, like with this specific game plan, Detroit plays a ton of man. They got him in some matchups. They got him matched up with a very good safety, but still a safety in Brian Branch, Amik Robinson, their nickel. They got him moved around, moved him inside some. We've talked about coming the year. Look, Calvin Ridley has had success working in the slot. So, like, you know, this is also some Callahan and Nick Holtz side of things of, like, how can you get this guy going and get him some matchups? So we'll see. But it's also, I think, if Levis, and we'll see about Levis, who, of course, you know, I'm sure Friday is either going to be a questionable. Maybe they'll declare him ready to go Friday, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's a questionable Friday and a game time thing. But, you know, then you switch quarterbacks at some point here. And can Levis and Ridley, you know, have that kind of connection? Can Levis, you know, execute? But I do think this is, Robbie, at least for the all this stuff. And again, when they sign him, you know, Kuharski, you know, people said if he gets paid and all that stuff, you know, he's just not going to care. I mean, good for him for, like, doing extra stuff and then seeing it pay off, right? I mean, that's got to mean something. I know right now a lot of Titans fans are like, I don't want any positive storylines. But the bottom line is, what if this team is going to get out of this in the next couple of years? I mean, he's going to be part of it.
He's got to be part of the solution, Yeah,
so you need him to care and do extra and then produce. And so at least for 1 week, that happened.
Well, one of the things beyond the production, just in terms of, you know, 143 yards, pretty darn good game for a wide receiver. What stood out to me is they attempted to get him the football often, and they got it to him, right? Heading into the game, he had been the catch percentage for Ridley heading into the game in 5 out of their 6 games had been below 50%. I mean, that's not what you're looking for, right? Like, we've talked about that. You know, week 1, it was 42.9%, 66.7% catch percentage against the Jets. And then after that, 33.3, 33.3, 0, and then 33.3. Well, you're back to, you know, 10 catches on 15 targets. You're never going to, I mean, I shouldn't say never, but most of the time, especially if you're a high-level wide receiver and they target you 10, 12 times in a game, you're not going to come down with all of them. But 66.7% like he had on Sunday, Joe, I can live much more with that than the one-third hit rate they were basically at prior to that. Like, finding ways to not only target him but complete those targets, I thought they took a big step in that direction. Now, I will say, if it goes back to Levis – you know, Levis has not played now in a couple of weeks. And you can practice. And by the way, really wasn't on the practice field yesterday either. So, like, how much time is he getting with these wide receivers? And how rusty is Will Levis when he gets back out there in a game setting, just in terms of his timing? Like, we've talked about the timing between he and Ridley, and it's not been there. What does that look like when Levis is back this week? We'll have to wait and see. But I thought at least, you know, 10 catches on 15 targets was a major step in the right direction, just of trying to get him the football and successfully being able to do so for the Titans on Sunday.
Yeah, and he looked fast. And again, it's like preseason, or even, like, you know, the one game early where it's like, yeah, you get the guy the ball in his hands, and he's got a chance to really outrun some people. So it's gotta be a confidence booster for him. And at the point of last week, it had gotten to probably with him as much as anyone on the team, just like, oh my gosh, can you do another week of, like, 8 targets, 2 catches, and then, you know, him saying whatever afterward. I mean, it's like everyone was so sick of the whole thing. So, again, that's how you get out of it, is by, like, trying to do something on your own end. And so I don't know if catching tennis balls led to last week, but, like, you know, it's got to be something that's good for the Titans that he would do this. And, of course, this is a story that, you know, it's like if the same thing happened last week and then he had the same kind of game and Brian Callahan told that story, then everybody would be like, well, great, that's a cute little story. Who cares?
Right.
You know, but it actually paid off in production. So so that's one of the things that could be positive moving forward. I always thought that Ridley and Hopkins would be great playing off each other. But you know what? Ridley and NWI, maybe not such a bad combo.
Well, maybe that's really the key to all of it. NWI has unlocked something here with Calvin Ridley, and you just got to keep that guy on the field. Keep that guy as a decoy over there. I mean, no wonder Ridley was singled up the other day. They're like, okay, 15 and white. Got to make sure we're covering that guy.
Hey, man, 15 and 15, his production relative to opportunity is pretty freaking good.
No doubt.
In his career.
There's no doubt about that. I got one text that says, when evaluating Levis, what do you have to take into consideration as far as the offensive line? We've talked about that a little bit, Joe. Like, it's obviously last year and certainly at times this year, the offensive line has been a big issue for the Titans. And you have to, you know, you're evaluating Levis, but you're also evaluating the whole picture on offense. I don't know how much that has to factor into your evaluation. I've said this before. Like, at some point, you got to overcome and make some plays regardless of what your circumstances look like if you're Will Levis. But, I mean, you certainly just can't totally ignore the level of offensive line play either. But what you brought up earlier is a good point, too. Like, and this is something that Brian Callahan would have more answers to certainly than we would. But how much have some of the offensive line struggles been on the quarterback and not recognizing what's going on up front and the protections and all that? I can't sit here and answer that from my chair, but Brian Callahan certainly has to take all that into account.
Yeah, and I'm sure. Yeah, you know, I'm sure that there's been some mistakes made by him at the line. In fact, I even think that may have been mentioned a time or two this year. But it's still mostly just like pretty simple. It's like, there you go. You know, are you going to block your guy or not? And that's been a problem. But no, that's why the ball has to come out fast. And I think, you know, Rudolph gets into the bad mistake realm himself, and then it's like, okay, well, this isn't much better. But I do think one thing that has been better with him is getting the ball out fast.
Yeah,
seeing it, getting it out, and when they've had good stretches with Rudolph at quarterback, that's what it has looked like. And I think that's what it's got to look like more whenever Levis gets back. Is you know, you hope the offensive line is making progress. I still, like, right tackle is still just a rotation, and the starter 1 week is inactive the next, right? But I think maybe the other parts of the line, I mean, I thought the other day against the Lions, and again, they don't have their edge rusher, but I thought that there were some good signs from the offensive line in that game.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it is time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
1025, the game, and the Game Nashville app.
It's time!
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles. Yes!
Unbelievable. He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle. It's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is that time of the week. Time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports. Joe's going to mute for the first time today.
Oh, my goodness. How about that? It's been so long. So
it really has been.
Yeah, like I'm really not. I don't have a muting issue anymore until then. But I'm going to change, and I'm going to credit Sand in Portland because I was going to do college basketball, but I can just do that next week after we've had a few games. Monday night, opening night, Baylor Gonzaga, get excited.
And then for the next 4 months consecutively.
Oh, you better believe it, baby. But, yeah, my best is going to be Jaden Daniels stepping back and launching a Hail Mary as Tyreek Stevenson taunts Commanders fans. And the probably the best part of the best is all of the different videos I've seen since then of Bears fans absolutely crumbling to the ground. We are in a text thread with Ryan from Chicago and, of course, our friend Michelle Perry, Knezeval. And I wish we had. I can't believe she didn't send video of him.
I would have loved to have seen it.
I mean, that could have. That must have been amazing. So, absolutely love it. Can I get my Bears drop? Can I get my Bears drop, Keezer? I mean, this is for my best in sports. I need my Bears drop.
You caught him off guard.
Keezer, no.
He's looking
Keezer
for it. Doesn't.
Okay. In the meantime, my worst is the Titans special teams against the Lions. I mean, it's the worst special teams performance I've seen that I can remember by a team in a National Football League game. You're talking about three long returns and another one that was taken back. And I mean, it is some kind of ticky tack, you know, penalty. It should have been four probably.
Yes.
It's absolutely embarrassing. I mean, you know, whatever your explanation is, there is no viable, reasonable explanation for that special teams performance. And really for this team's special teams performance all year.
The Bears today, the Bears tomorrow, the Bears every day of our lives.
Okay, did you change that? Because it's just a silence when he says it. You got to have the bleep, or else people don't know what's
Joe,
going on.
Joe, it's because you're at home.
Yeah, it bleeped.
And you're on Zoom.
It did bleep.
It's okay.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
That's weird. Why is that happening?
The Bears today, the Bears tomorrow, the Bears every day of our lives.
So Zoom doesn't play bleeps?
I don't know. It definitely bleeped, though.
Audio's just distorted.
I can confirm.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you. Let's keep that ready. Let's keep that at the ready. I think that cheers everybody up in any moment. Thank you.
Nick Keezer, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
I'd say the best thing. How about Jameis Winston getting a start and a win for the first time since 2022?
How about it?
He had 334 yards, three touchdowns, I want to say. Man, and a great pregame speech, you know?
Yeah, it was quite something. Jameis was locked in the pregame.
Absolutely.
Sunday.
Absolutely. My worst thing in sports, really quick, I kind of heard Unsportsman like talking about it this morning, but the Jets, golly, what are they doing? Are they going to be sellers after this game coming up this weekend? I mean, they're already 2-6. I mean, I saw some writers talking about, hey, would we possibly see Davante Adams be shopped around once again? I mean, I highly doubt it, but
Davante, good to see you. Now we're sending you somewhere else.
Exactly. It's like that Simpsons gif of the Grandpa Simpson walking in and out of the door. So I don't know, but the Jets are in one right now. They definitely suck. So we'll see what they end up doing. And Robbie, Aaron Rodgers just doesn't look like himself, man.
Yeah, you hate to see it. You really do. You hate to see it up there in New York.
I'm broken up about it.
Yeah. Meanwhile, by the way, big game coming up between the 6-2 Green Bay Packers and Detroit Lions on Sunday. So, Aaron, I hope you have fun watching that from home. My best thing in sports, first off, I just want to preemptively send our apologies to the people of Germany who a week from Sunday are going to have to sit there and watch the New York Giants take on the Carolina Panthers in the NFL God. Munich game. Congratulations to Germany. I hope you enjoy whatever show that's going to be on Sunday. But one thing you will get to enjoy is my guy, Xavier Leggett, and the personality that he brings to the table. Xavier Leggett yesterday was interviewed in the locker room and was discussing, you know, food possibilities in Germany, and then basically went through foods that he doesn't like here, and it was glorious. Here's what Xavier Leggett had to say yesterday.
I just hope they got some good food. I'm a picky eater, so I just hope they got something I can eat.
They have good chocolate.
I don't eat candy like this.
But what are your no-goes? You say you're a picky eater. What are your no-goes?
Yeah, I don't eat seafood. I don't eat like peppers and onions and all that. I don't really eat vegetables like this.
What? So you eat like pizza?
Yeah, and like I just started eating asparagus. I eat like string beans and green peas.
But that's not a surprise. Do they have to be cooked in bacon grease? Do they have to be cooked in bacon grease?
No. That ain't like that.
Pasta?
Yeah, I eat some pasta.
Okay.
Yeah, I eat some pasta.
Chicken, steak, all the regular stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
No seafood, though?
Nah, I'm allergic.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll give you that one.
I don't know that I've ever loved a human being more than Xavier Leggett. Ugh. I love that guy.
He is the best, man.
I ain't doing seafood. I'm allergic to it. His pronunciation of asparagus was maybe the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Well, he's from the low country, you know, and it's like no seafood.
I know.
I actually feel really bad for him. Be allergic to seafood from where he's from. But, man, he is absolutely the best.
Oh,
that's a great best.
I love that guy. Congratulations, Germany. The game might suck, but at least you get to watch him. Hope you interview him as much as possible while he's over there. My worst thing in sports, did you guys see the Dwayne Wade statue that the Miami Heat unveiled outside the arena? Now, I'm a big, yes. as you both know, I'm a big Miami Heat guy. Dwayne Wade, my favorite basketball player of all time. He certainly deserves the statue outside the arena. It may be the worst statue I've ever seen. And it's from the moment of him like standing on the scorer's table saying, "This is my house," and all that. So he was pretty animated when he was doing that back in his playing days. It's the statue looks nothing like him. Like, it's pretty hilarious. And, you know, he said all the right things and all this stuff and about how he loves it and he's animated and all this stuff. It was pretty funny to watch Charles Barkley the other night. Like, yeah, it's a great honor to get the statue, but they got to take that thing down. They got to take that statue down and come up with something different. The Dwayne Wade statue might be the worst one I've ever seen, Joe.
So about 20 years ago at Michigan State, they unveiled the Magic Johnson statue. And it was the exact same. It's like an awesome looking statue. And then it's like, oh, and Morgan Freeman is the face. Okay. You know, and of course, like Magic has made jokes about it. I don't know. I mean, I guess just it's hard to, but I've seen some statues where the face kind of resembles the person.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't have to be perfect, but you can also get it like somewhat close, you know?
Like, the thing about this statue is it makes him look fat. Like, the face is really fat.
And now people are photoshopping the statue's face on, like, all of his pictures from his playing days. And, like, they made him into Thanos the other day on social media. Like, it's pretty funny. Statue's pretty bad.
Yeah. But you know what? If you get a statue, I think it's one of those things where can you really be picky about it?
I think when it's that bad, you might be able to.
Well, maybe you can.
I think you might be.
Maybe if you're Dwayne Wade, you can.
Ty on the text line, going back to Xavier Leggett, says that's the countryest dude I've ever heard. I think I might agree. It's a wonderful accent that I don't feel like the NFL utilizes enough.
Thank you for saying that, Ty, because now you remind me of the SEC Media Days where Adam Sparks asked questions and someone tweeted, "Tennessean writer is countryer than a hit possum." And now I'm imagining Adam Sparks interviewing Xavier Leggett. My God, what a glorious moment that would be.
It could be so awesome. Keezer, hit me with that asparagus drop one more time.
What?
So you eat like pizza?
Yeah, and I just started eating asparagus.
Oh, God. I love that guy. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. We got a Joe Rexroad edition of some college football questions coming up next that I'm excited to answer and that I do not know what he's about to ask, so I'm looking forward to it. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, The Game.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE, and I'm Jimmy Uso. Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam. I know, I can't wait. There's nothing better to do while we're waiting than playing Chumba Casino. Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam. So what are you waiting for? Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win. Let's Chumba. Yeah.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.